This method is the last method for linear systems which we will treat. It's a strange method. It has been included in the top 10 list of most important methods developed for science and engineering in the 20th century. One of the so-called top 10 algorithms. In last century, in this course, we will see three of these top 10 algorithms. One is this. The other two we will see are the QR algorithm, not the factorization. The iterative algorithm for eigenvalues and the fast Fourier transform. Algorithm in the second part of the course in the second semester. I said this method is somewhat strange. A few words about its main properties. It is defined, as we will see soon, as an iterative procedure which converges always in a finite number of steps. So it can also be seen as a direct method. Its convergence has a lot of properties that make it the most, I can say, the most relevant, prominent method for large and sparse linear systems. Well, also the story of this method is looks strange. It has introduced in literature the first time in 1952 in a paper by Hess and Stiefel. But its importance was not well recognized at the time. So it has been rediscovered in the 60s and in the 70s. And its importance has grown more with the development of computer science. The derivation of the method is quite complicated and very tricky. So I will try to be the clearer as I can. I will write on a part of the board, over a part of the board, in the logical order, the main properties and the main formulas which in the order in which they will be derived. So, let us devote the left part of the board to this collection of partial results in order to recover them when I will need them. Formulas and projects. Let us start with the main idea. The idea is simple. That is, the resolution of the linear system is equivalent to the minimization of the problem a functional phi x over r to the n, where the functional is defined in this way. An important assumption which I have forgotten. The problem, the linear system, must have the coefficient matrix real, symmetric, and positive definite. So I write here real, we leave the complex number for now. Symmetric, positive definite. The functional is quadratic. Why these two problems are equivalent? Probably you have already seen this. I simply recall you that the condition, since the matrix A is positive definite, is a necessary and sufficient condition, is that the gradient the gradient of this functional is the zero vector. In this case, for being a positive definite, I repeat this fact, this condition is necessary and sufficient in order that the point x is a minimum. This gradient we compute the gradient before we write in explicit way, in explicit fashion, phi x, which is this value is the sum, the double sum to indices A sub ij is sub I sub j minus another sum. If you consider the partial derivatives of phi with respect to one x sub k, one of these elements, you find from this sum you have you block one index to k, so find I k x I plus you derive with respect to the other occurrence of x, so have another sum over E and finally the sign is minus, you have simply the variable is x sub k. The matrix is symmetric, so the two sums are the same, that we double the sum and we have sum A is it the same, right, let's write in this way. Okay. This derivative must be zero, and you recognize the kth equation of the real system. And I can consider the same path, the same reasoning, starting from this equation and arriving to the annihilation of the corresponding partial derivative. So we have recorded these well-known equivalents. In most cases, one starts from the minimization problem and solve the corresponding linear system which is equivalent to this condition. In this case, the idea is to start from the linear system and replace the problem of its resolution with the minimization of this function. In which way? With some technique, such as a gradient method, which you already know, and which can be adapted to the particular case of a quadratic function. We introduce some notation. We call the difference b minus a by x residual and we will denote it by the letter R. In the iterative procedure, we will find some vectors x by k. So R sub k is defined as the residual computed over the value x sub k. Where x sub k is the kth iterate vector. We have also just seen that the gradient of phi is equal to minus R, or in the case that the argument is x sub k, the gradient of phi in x sub k is minus R sub k. Okay, we have seen that this quantity is minus the corresponding element of R sub k. So we write also that the gradient of phi is minus the residual. Let us label the various formulas we will find. Before this formula, that which we label with number 2, we write the general iterative scheme for a gradient method, that is the new iterate. So the new iterate is assigned the value of the previous iterate plus number, the length of the path, by a suitable direction. In the optimization module, maybe you have seen a different notation. I am obliged to use the notation of the book, where P, the letter P, denotes the direction. The letter alpha denotes the length of the path. For us, this will be the formula number 1. Well, se c'è qualche domanda, anche tu pure.
Non ho capito se alfa è la lunghezza oppure la direzione.
No, alfa è un numero e la lunghezza. P è un vettore. P is vector, this is direction.
Okay.
If I remember well, in the optimization module, alpha is t and p is d.
Okay.
It's very important in all gradient methods that the direction p, p sub k, is a decreasing direction. Decreasing vanish. The condition is that the scalar product between P, K is a K, and the gradient is less than zero. The right direction, the decreasing direction, must be near the opposite of the gradient direction. You have seen these facts in last lectures. But we have just seen that the gradient is minus, in this case, is minus the residual. So the condition becomes the scalar product between pk, p sub k, and rk must be positive. We write this clearly, require that third formula, this scalar product PK and RK, so that at each step we have a decrement of the objective function. The choice, next matter, is the choice of alpha. So, the gradient method. We choose a direction according to this condition. All directions which fulfill this condition are right. Next step is to next step. I have to, in order to do the iteration, I have to choose alpha. Alpha is chosen according to the so-called exact choice criterion. What does this mean? That I want that the value of phi in next vector is the minimum over alpha of phi . This is the sense of the exact choice of alpha. I have chosen the direction I move from x alpha, xk, along this direction, and I am searching a point, a vector, along this direction that minimizes the objective function. You have also seen this. You consider the partial, the total derivative of phi with respect to alpha in the new iterate, which for the chain rule of derivatives, the derivatives is equal to the gradient of phi in x sub k plus 1, that is xk plus alpha p sub k, scalar product Right? The derivative of the argument with respect to alpha, which is the vector, the gradient, which is the vector p sub k. So this is the product, the scalar product of two gradients, and the result is a scalar.
But we know that
the gradient is minus some residual.
Which residual?
The residual corresponding to this value.
Residual is p minus a multiplied by the gradient.
All transposed
by p.
This derivative obviously must be zero. We expand
and have a formula that gives us the right value for alpha. Some k. Have fine. B transposed by p. Okay, minus x k. A is symmetric, so the transposition makes no effect by mistake transposed A by pk minus again alpha pk transposed A by pk. All of this is zero.
The first two terms can be rewritten as b minus a by xk transposed, b minus a xk transposed, which is the residual,
by pk minus the same stuff. Zero.
We derive from this equation the value of alpha,
alpha sub k,
which must be equal to
the residual
scalar product by p
divided by
this quadratic form. I add this formula for the computation of alpha here.
Number 4.
But this is a number. We observe that it's a positive number. Why? It's a fraction. The denominator is a quadratic form relative to a positive definite matrix. Don't forget that A is positive definite. So this number, the denominator, is positive. The numerator, according to the condition where it has been written, here. The third formula, the scalar product between P and R with the same index is positive. Positive over positive, positive. So the value of alpha is a positive number. I could say that the iterative scheme is completed. I start from an arbitrary starting point, I compute the residual, I choose the direction, compute the direction P, compute the residual R, compute alpha, and compute the new iteration by means of this formula. In the successive step, I will compute the next residual. The next residual can be computed according its definition, but can be computed also by means of an updated formula. Write this formula, which is an alternative way to compute the next residual. Its definition says that the next residual is B minus A by the next iterative. But the if this iterative is the previous iterative plus alpha by P. I put together B minus alpha by X sub K, and I find the previous residual modified by this scalar product alpha it is not a scalar product, a product matrix by vector alpha by A by P. So I add a new formula for the updating of the residual with number 5. The previous minus alpha by A by P. A last result, the number here is 4, I said, 4, 5. A last property which holds for all gradient methods with the exact determination of the length of the path, which is our case. The formula is this, and states the orthogonality between the direction and the gradient. In our case, I mean that if we consider this scalar product, we easily find that it must be zero. Why?
The updating
formula we have just written over there says that the new residual is the old minus alpha k by a by p. K I expand if you substitute the formula for alpha I don't substitute actually, but it is easy to see this. If you substitute here this formula, we find the orthogonality. This is a general fact, not a particular property of the gradients method. Well, so we add also this, which is very important for the properties of the conjugate gradient method. So I accept orthogonality between next residual, that's okay, plus one. So we have a gradient method. Probably you have already seen that there is no strong general convergence result for a generic gradient method. There are some stronger results for the convergence in the case of the steepest descent strategy. We have already seen that the method depends on choices of the directions A classical choice is the so-called steepest descent choice that gives to P, to the direction, the value of the opposite of the gradient. But the opposite of the gradient in our case is simply RK. So in our case, if we decide, which is a natural behavior, to perform this strategy, we have this identity all over the development of the sequence. Okay. So we have also, as a consequence of the formula 6 that in the case of steepest descent two contiguous residual must be orthogonal. The P are equal to the R, so we have that in this 6 B's are all orthogonal. This is in the case of steepest descent. Are we satisfied by this choice, the steepest descent? For the steepest descent applied to quadratic function, there exists a general good result for convergence, which you can find from the book. We don't prove this result. Let's say that if we define a special norm on vectors, a norm depending on the matrix A, it is called A norm or also NMG norm. A norm or NMG norm. Definition is the two norm of the two norm of not the two norm, it's two norm it can be involved, but it's simpler to write directly. It is similar to the two norm. If we, A is the identity matrix, we would find the two norm. In general, this is the A norm. It can be put that this is a vector norm. Well, if we use this energy norm, a convergence result holds, which state that the energy norm or A norm of the vector, the error vector, which is, as you can imagine, the exact solution minus this is the star exact solution of the linear system minus the kth iteration. Well, the A norm of this vector is dominated by this quantity So mu sub 2 is the condition number of the matrix A. Just take, give a look to the fraction. The numerator is less than the denominator, so this number is positive and less than 1. It is raised to the power k. So the sequence of these powers is
goes to zero for
as k increases, and this relation implies convergence. This is the error at the iterate k. This is the initial error, and this number goes to zero. The rate of convergence, we comment rate of convergence of what? Of the steepest descent we call it variance. Of the steepest descent variance depends on this difference. When this difference is small, when the condition number is near 1, and when the condition number in the Euclidean norm is near 1, when all the eigenvalues, and the eigenvalues of A are real and positive, are almost equal, you have to remember that the condition number of A is the maximum of the eigenvalues divided by the minimum of eigenvalues. So if all the eigenvalues are almost the same number, the rate of convergence is high because this difference is near zero. There is 5 minutes more. There is another well-known fact that is somewhat annoying when one uses the steepest descent variant.
I am sure you know already this fact, which is a consequence
of the orthogonality of two successive directions, because this formula can also be rewritten as it's the same. So if you imagine it to be in the plane, you start from some x zero, starting point, you proceed along some direction, zero, that is the successive point, next point, next vector is sub one, and you know that this is the opposite of the direction of the gradient, and the gradient is orthogonal to the contour level, curvative level. The next direction from this will be orthogonal to the previous. So the contour, in which way the contour has to be set? In this way. And so on. If I stop here, it means that next direction, this is P1, this is P2, and the contour level will have that form. So in this simple situation, we realize that if the eigenvalues, the two eigenvalues we are in the plane, the two eigenvalues are different, very different, one from the other, we have contour levels which are ellipses with high eccentricity, sorry. If lambda sub 1 is much larger than lambda sub 2, and many iterations may be required. So the convergence occurs, but it is slow, can be very slow. What can we do? Now we introduce another possible choice of the direction P. This choice defines method conjugate PK, or better PK, is chosen not exactly equal to the residual, but a slight, maybe slight, maybe not, modification, there is definition of the residual, the modification is proportional to the previous direction. Under what condition? Condition on beta. Beta sub k must be such that this product has to be zero. This condition is called this condition defines the so-called conjugate, I mean A conjugate, directions PK. With this condition, we say that the directions that will be chosen are A conjugate in this sense. they are not orthogonal in the standard sense of the word, but they are a-orthogonal, which means this. And this property is the central idea of this particular strategy. Why it is? The consequence, the not obvious consequence of this choice is that the main result, the main consequence, which we will see in the second part of today's lecture, is that all the residuals form an orthogonal set of vectors. Not only this, here we have found that two residuals, contiguous residuals, are orthogonal. With this choice, in this strategy, we will find that all the residuals during the procedure form an orthogonal set of vectors of R to N. But in this vector space, there cannot be more than N orthogonal vectors. So the fundamental effect of this property that will be that for some index k, Rk will be zero for k at most n. Is it clear? We will find that under this condition we will define a special, a very special gradient method, which is not the steepest descent method, is another method. We will see that this direction is a decreasing direction. Not only this, we will find that along the generation of new iterators, we will find residuals that will be all orthogonal, each to the other. But in R to the N, there cannot be more than N orthogonal vectors. So for some index, we'll have to find a residual zero. But residual zero, what means? That the corresponding x sub k is the exact solution. This is the reason why this method, the conjugate gradient method, is also a direct method. Because we are sure that in n steps at most, we will reach the exact solution. Okay, let's take a short break as usual.